morning, folks. Happy Friday, and welcome back. This is the Drive Time Friday Show, and we do have a lot to talk about today. I'm one of your two Colorado-based hosts, Mark Collin. Today, at least, sunny southern Colorado. It's almost starting to look like spring. And in the mountains, that means you're being suckered in by the weather, because what's going to happen is we're going to get the big snowstorms that we always get in the spring, too. And it'll remind people that winter ain't over till it's over. In any case, we got David Justice online. And David, there is a lot to talk about today. I said that already. But the thing that I think, if there's a single word that sticks out at me this week, especially on multiple fronts, it's the idea we've seen it coming, but now we're seeing it literally ram down people's throats. It's weaponization. The weaponization of the system of just us, the weaponization of education, the weaponization of sexuality, you name it, Big Brother and the satanic forces that run Big Brother are weaponizing it against everything that was once called a truth, justice, the American way, the word of our creator, you name it. If it's truth and justice and wholesome and good as opposed to evil, they're weaponizing it and turning it upside down, calling it good instead of evil and vice versa. Go ahead. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. So what has been hidden and obfuscated is now being seen plainly. I believe that what we're watching is the result of them being exposed. I think that they know that their time is up, and they're pulling the gloves off. They're going to go for it now because they don't care because now everybody sees them. And so for them to pull, like, for example, this thing against Trump yesterday is to me, it sends a signal to me that they're desperate and they're stupid. And it's a fascinating thing to watch the wheels come off of what has been concealed for so long that now it's plain to see. And so now we enter into a new chapter where we get to experience evil, because they won't stop with Trump. They're sending a message, and Trump has said it often. He said, they're coming after you, I'm just in their way. Mark, go ahead.
You got it. Well,
start off with the news.
they're openly killing kids, and they're openly laughing about it and planning their day of vengeance. And let me just put it this way, David. I think the thing that's important here, you were almost there. I'm going to go the rest of the way. When you see evil is cornered, and, you know, whether it's a muskrat or a rabid dog or any other kind of a wild animal that realizes it's cornered, you had better watch out, because it's going to basically, it's called on death's ground. And that is where the far left and the evil satanic forces are. And they will fight to kill, and they don't care about people's lives. We've seen that. They're sending their dumbed down minions to do their work. We had yet another transgender this week earlier. Let's start earlier in the week. We'll work our way up to the place where I know you want to go here in a minute, because we've seen that coming for several weeks now. But we have we have yet another mass murder in a gun-free killing zone, and I guess for the evil individual that wanted to kill a whole bunch of little Christian kids, the problem was that the thing may have started out gun-free, but it didn't end up that way, and you know, it has to stay gun-free if they're going to continue killing. Once it becomes no longer gun-free, the parade may be over. So that was in Nashville. By the way, there was another piece of information that came out, and most people aren't hearing this because CBS, for example, the executives came out with a memo. I saw this on the Gateway Pundit saying that their on-air talking heads are not to use the word transgender associated with anything that happened in Nashville. In other words, they're going to cover this up. This is a real hate crime as opposed to the crap they're pushing, and they're going to make sure that people don't know what's going on. This is, according to a piece from the Epoch Times earlier, at least the fourth transgender murder, mass murder, mass shooting that we've seen in the last few years. Is there a pattern here? The answer is yeah, because a lot of these people are mentally ill. The diagnostic manual, the DSM as it's called, it's used by the American Psychiatric Association and clinicians to diagnose mental illnesses, used to call what we're seeing now that the administration is saying is an American treasure and they just love it. was called gender dysphoria. It was classified as a psychological malady. In other words, a nutcase situation. You have situations where people are being given SSRI drugs. They're also called the mass murder drugs. And isn't it interesting that if you go out and say, well, what's the real root here? No, it has nothing to do with the guns, because people that are on SSRI drugs, moms have drowned their kids in the bathtub. People get trucks and they run over folks in large gatherings. The goal is mass murder. And the firearm is just a tool. And by the way, so are these people who are being used to commit mass murder on behalf of, let's be real clear, the satanic forces that have taken over the world. It's not like they haven't really had it for a long time, but you're right, the gloves are off. They have certainly taken over the U.S. government, and we have seen that writ so large this week that if people aren't looking at it and wanting to throw up, they're not paying attention. Go ahead, David.
Well, the... Again, yes to everything you said. The agenda is to cover up their evil. They don't want us seeing it, and so they're willing to kill and murder and do false flags and take the attention off them. They'll do anything they can to distract us from the real crimes of not just this regime, but crimes that the American government and men and women within the American government have been involved with for decades.
And while
and it's
I
all
agree,
caught up with them now.
I agree with that, David, but it's true to a point. And I think what we're seeing now is a transition. And the transition is, okay, we're caught. People are starting to figure out, for example, that the Fauci flu was a fake and it was lab engineered, and that part B of the bioweapon is the injection itself, and we're killing millions. And yes, we've been caught fudging the figures. Yes, they were caught lying. But we're going to blame some folks. They may even allow a few scapegoats to be hung. Not Fauci, of course. They'll protect him till the bitter end. But the other thing that has changed is, and you used the term the gloves are off, there's no longer any hiding of the fact that the agenda is just outright evil. And let me make that point. Let me bring it home. If folks haven't seen this, the Gateway Pundits had it up. I'm sure you can do a web search. The Biden proclamation from one of the most evil sickos. Yes, he's senile, but the guy was actually satanic long before he became senile and satanic. Biden came out with a proclamation for the Transgender Day of Visibility. Oh, it's to celebrate the next day, which is the Transgender Day of Vengeance and Day of Rage. And here's how he put it in this, well, his puppet masters put it. His proclamation says the Transgender Day of Visibility celebrates the joy, the strength, the absolute courage of some of the bravest people I know. Is he talking about people who risk their lives to defend truth, justice, and the American way? Hell no! He's talking about people who are perverts, who want kids to be mutilated, who want kids to be sterilized, who want to kill them. He's talking about absolute mental illness, psychosis, masquerading as, oh, aren't we funny? We go to the high schools and the grade schools, and we teach kids how wonderful it is with drag queen story hour to be a sicko and something that the Bible says is deserving of death because it's an abomination. Let me read more of this until I start to throw up. People who have put their jobs and relationships and their lives on the line just to be their true selves. He goes on, this sicko perverted scumbag, to say, transgender Americans shape our nation's soul. And you know what? That's the only thing he said that's true. What they're doing is they're shaping the soul into something, an abomination to the creator of the universe, and sending a nation that's already well on the road straight to hell on earth. And if people aren't, let me say it kindly as I can, David, if people aren't pissed off about this and recognizing that your kids are on the block, they want to take your kids and sterilize them, mutilate their genitalia, give them puberty-blocking drugs, and basically indoctrinate them to be something that the creator of the universe says is abomination to him. That's about as nasty and low as it gets, and they're not hiding it. This proclamation says, here it is, we're rubbing it in your face. If you don't like it, by the way, well, you know, we talk about how we're all for freedom. It's just not your freedom that we're interested in. Go ahead.
I think, I don't know, but I think that Obama is behind this.
Oh, yeah.
We all know that Michelle is Michael. We know that he's married to a transgender guy. Also, I think that there's some talk about Jared Polis running for president and against Trump in 2000.
Oh, good grief! Yeah,
24. So I think that what we're seeing here is, again, they're massaging the American psyche to wear us down to where we are so to the degree that we capitulate to this mental illness, which is really what they're doing, is they're promoting mental illness, and they're using a senile pedophile with dementia to promote an agenda that he's just a stick figure. He's a puppet. But this is the result of what's happening here is I think the powers that ultimately be know that they're breaking us down, our resolve from within, so that when the total invasion from the South, when they say go, that they've created so much confusion, they think they'll get a leg up because they've sown so much derision amongst the people of this country. So I think that this is, I don't know, but it feels to me like we're being mocked and we're being dismantled from within so that China will be able to come in and just completely clean up the mess. Go ahead, Mark.
I think where you're headed, David, is it sounds like the intent is to say we're going to make such a stinking, fetid mess out of this country that when somebody comes in like China or Russia and says, we may be communists, but hey, at least we're not perverted communists, this is going to be a step up for you all. And that's a sad way to put it. But the way I have suggested over the last few days is, honestly, remember, there was a time when gender dysphoria was in the DSM, the diagnostic manual for psychologists and psychiatrists and those who are looking at mental illness, and it was called gender dysphoria. People are confused. Now, usually they grow out of it. That is, unless you cut their genitalia off and give them drugs and essentially turn them into mass murderers, among other things. Perverts first, mass murderers later. What we're seeing here, and the term that I would prefer, is just generally mental illness being normalized. And, of course, one of the things that I mentioned up front, it's being weaponized. Just like they weaponized the justice system, we'll come back to that, obviously, and weaponized the education system. It's no longer about education. For years, it's been about teaching people to emote, not think. Dumbing down young kids to the point where they don't even know how to make a logical connection. They can't see cause and effect. This is not education. This is the opposite. It's negative education, to use the term Bill Bonner was the first one I saw right about 8 years ago. I think it's a great term. In other words, they're not only uneducated, they're educated what they know is wrong so that it's negative. They have to get back to zero and be ignorant before they can actually learn something right. And then they got to learn how to use their brains to connect cause and effect. So it's, go ahead, it's indoctrination.
Let me jump in. I heard you say something really interesting. They're weaponizing normalcy against us. They're weaponizing mental illness.
You got it.
They're twisting. They've created such a narrative inside the reality within which most people live and move and have their being, and which their education, you know, they're vested in the system, which I referred to last week as Truman World. That now, in order to go along, to get along inside this world, they have to adopt mental illness as normal, and that's a form of weaponization of mental illness. And yes, that's where they're going. And the cognitive dissonance.
You bet.
The dialectic Hegelian dialectic that is being created between normal and abnormal now. You know, it's everything. We're reaching the place where if we don't know the truth, if we're not locked into the truth, if we're not seeking the truth, we'll get caught up in this delusion and we won't know how to find our way out of it. So we are here, folks, and this is what we've been warned about for a long time. So the way out is to know that sanity will appear to be insane in an insane world. But we're not, those of us that love truth are not the insane ones. All we need to do is hang on. Don't be provoked, because I think that that's ultimately what they want the right to do. I think a lot of this is designed to provoke us so that we will rise up. Like, you know, unfortunately they didn't get their January 6th narrative completely sold, but they want the right to rise up. They want us to pick up arms without, you know, a sense of organization, so that they can turn their armies loose on us. But I think that that's the agenda, and I'm not sure, but it sure feels like we're being provoked, Mark.
Yeah, I would say absolutely, David. You're exactly correct. And you mentioned a couple of things. We'll use a term. You and I have talked about this before, but I think all of this is important today to kind of set the stage. Remember when male homosexuality wasn't the essential most common type of sexuality you see on network TV? And I'm being disgustingly correct, but not politically correct on that score. We're to the point now, and I don't have network television, don't have cable here, don't want to pay for it, and don't want it in my house. But what I have seen, and I haven't paid a lot of attention to network TV, but it is considered de rigueur. In other words, you got a sitcom or a drama, you got to have your gay, quote unquote, there's even a word that's been twisted, male homosexual sodomist as a main part of the thing. And by the way, that's usually going to be the best character, right? This is the one, the neighbor that's going to point things out when times get tough. You can always count on the male homosexuality to have a cool head in a crisis, or to be funny when it's called to be funny. It's the white male that's going to be demonized as the guy who you don't want to listen to. He's an idiot and so forth. So what's been done is what's called the Overton window. And this is an important characteristic. We take something which is a societal norm and push it in a direction of perversion. And that's the word that we got to use, of perversion. Things which were considered to be absolutely unbelievably sick and twisted. And by the way, the Bible uses the term towiba in the Hebrew. It means abomination unto him. And male on male homosexuality is called towiba in the Hebrew. So they push it. They move the Overton window to the point where, oh no, you know, network TV, you gotta have your gay male character on there. And yes, female characters too, but it's more important that the ones that the creator actually comes right out and says, and he uses the terminology, carry a death penalty. That's what we gotta normalize first. Well, so they're there, right? People don't even bat an eye anymore, and you're not allowed to use certain words that start with an F, for example, to describe what was once this perversion that now is, network TV ready. But wait a minute, then what's next? How do you move the Overton window further? Well, now you gotta have your transgender guy, the male homosexual, who's so over the top that he's gonna do another thing the scripture says is abomination, and cross-dress. Well, cross-dressing is passé. We got Drag Queen Story Hour, that was cross-dressing. Now we got BDSM Story Hour. And we've got other things that are absolute abomination, and that has moved the Overton window to the point where you have a presidential proclamation saying, transgender bull, you know, transgender perversion, quote, shapes our nation's soul. And you know what, David, when we get to that point, I think the answer is America is not only ripe for judgment, jonesing for judgment, they are literally bent over saying, give it to me, creator of the universe, if you're real, just slap me around hard. And the problem is, Americans had better be ready for it, because eventually, they're gonna get it. And you're right, it's not just the, it's not just the provocation. They're provoking him to anger. That's the term he uses as well. We talk about the Billy Graham quote. I've mentioned one from Thomas Jefferson, and he said, indeed, I tremble for my nation when I remember that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know how popular I'm going to be after this comment that I'm about to make. Judgment starts with the house of God.
You're right.
You know, American Christianity has come so far off. I'm going to say the truth of the word, that it's nearly indistinguishable. And, you know, there's scripture Jesus said, when, you know, if the light, you know, you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its saltiness, it's fit for nothing but to be trampled underfoot of men. And if the light goes dark, how great is the darkness? What we're witnessing here is a result of the institutional church's failure and the true church's failure to come into the fullness of what the church actually is supposed to be on this planet. This judgment is our fault. You know, we can look at the transgender people and look how evil they are, you know, but you know what? Judgment starts with the house of God. We did this. This is ours. We have to own this. And the only way out of this is we have to change the way we think about the word. We have to change the way we think about church, and we have to change the way we think about what we've been doing, because we've set an example that has caused the world to become what it is. So our failure is now manifest in the world, and the only way back, and here comes that word again, repent, which means to change your mind, to change the way you think. It doesn't mean do an altar call and go up there and kneel down and accept Jesus. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is we got to rethink everything, because something we've been doing has resulted in this. There's no result without a cause. And the cause has been the absence of truth coming from American pulpits. You know, it's turned into a song and a dog and pony show. It's been the so-and-so show, you know, and people have fallen away from Christianity because they're disgusted, because all they want to talk about life after death and dying and going to heaven. But as far as practical application, there's been a serious deficiency, and there's been a serious misunderstanding and an application of the law. It's missing. You know, we're set free from the law. There's this idea, and that's the biggest crock of bull I've ever heard, and yet most of Christianity buys into this notion that we can live a life free from law. But folks, this is the result of that.
And they get
Mark,
the,
go ahead.
They
take
get
it.
The most incredible tyranny in history as a result. Isn't it funny? As lawlessness abounds, and he told us this in Matthew 24, the love of many is growing cold, and what do we get instead? We get a police state, where lawlessness abounds, but hey, there is a law, it's just not his. And those things that he calls abomination, we're going to mandate. We're going to slam down your kid's throat. You're right, and honestly, David, I'm going to go a little bit further, as I am wont to do, because, as you know, I'm not a big fan of the so-called church, the whore church, as I refer to it, and I'll go even further and suggest that Paul wrote about this in Corinthians, a letter that he wrote, over two millennia ago, essentially. This would have been just a few decades after Yeshua, the Torah made flesh, walked among us. And he warned, because he was seeing it already. He warned about a so-called church, a bunch of people that would come preaching, I quote, another Jesus whom we have not preached. Well, and that's probably the best way to put it. Now, at that point, of course, the name Jesus hadn't even been made up. It didn't exist for 16 more centuries. But the point was true. They're going to turn what he wrote, what he was, what he said, who he was, into something anathema to him. The man who was, in fact, the Torah made flesh and taught it as written, they're going to turn him into the lawless one. Gee, isn't that kind of familiar? A one who says the law is done away with, nailed to the cross. It is, you're right. It's arguably an even bigger lie than you can be like God and you will not die. Now, the reason why all of this is important, this will take us to the break, I think, is because we are seeing this transgender day of vengeance. And I will contend that, are we there yet? The place where the creator of the universe has removed his protection from the whore church and from all of those that are not doing his will. In fact, that are, as Isaiah says in chapter 66, they chose that in which I do not delight, so I'll bring their fears upon them, and other things that people ought to read. Read Isaiah 66. It's an eye-opener for the whore church. And recognize that here we are coming up on a time, and I'm going to probably offend some, so be it, where the most important event in human history, the death of the Mashiach in order to atone for sins, but at least those who call him Lord, Lord, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? It's important we understand that the blood of a fake doesn't amount to anything. If it's another Jesus whom we've not preached, they're barking up the wrong tree. On the other hand, let's make sure we understand what's really happening, because if people say, well, I'm going to go to church on Sun God Day, go to my Ishtar sunrise services, get my bunnies and my eggs, and I'm going to celebrate this most important event by renaming it after a pagan goddess. Oh, he'll like that. He knows my heart. He won't mind at all that I don't want to celebrate his day the way he says to. And we'll be right back. right, we are back, folks. Second segment of the Drive Time Friday show today, and I hope and suspect that this will be kind of a tough one for people that haven't actually been paying attention to where we are. Now, I know most of the regular listeners here have, but one of the things that we always try to do is, if you will, arm those who do have eyes to see with not just an understanding of the times, right? We're supposed to know the times and the seasons, not be caught unaware as by the thief in the night, but also concepts that are being used against people, like this idea of the Overton window, the Hegelian dialectic, psychological tools to say, oh, we're going to normalize all this crap, all of this mental illness, to the point where you won't recognize how your children are being indoctrinated to turn into something which the creator of the universe calls abomination to him. And furthermore, I guess the real point, and this is where I was headed as we went to the break, and David's right, and I completely agree, the church, and I refer to it as the whore church, is guilty of all kinds of things, including preaching another Jesus whom we've not preached. David mentioned Ezekiel chapter 9, and this is the story of the angel with the inkhorn, where essentially he says, hey, you know what? People need to be sighing and crying at all the abominations that are being done. Now, if you read Ezekiel chapter 8, you'll see all those abominations come right out of the whore church. Things like weeping for Tammuz, a.k.a. Lent, bunnies and eggs and sunrise services for Ishtar, the fertility goddess, you name it. It's really condemned right there in chapter 8. It's so clear once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then he says, I want you to go out and mark those who are mine. And then as for the rest of them, every man, woman, and child who does not have my mark, utterly slay them. Oh, yeah. And begin at my mikdash, my sanctuary. So where I'm headed with all this, David, is to say the signs are clear. If the hand of protection has been removed, and if it's not been, I think he has promised that it will be. But in any case, I would stay as far away, and I would encourage my loved ones to stay as far away from the whore church that's preaching Ishtar and bunnies and eggs. You go to a church on Sun God Day, and they're having a sunrise service, and they got their irises and their bunnies and their eggs and their little all their cute little pagan stuff out there. I would no more stand next to that than I would some guy carrying a pole in a thunderstorm. Get clear of it. And if you add to it the things that are being done, like the Day of Vengeance, and you recognize that guess where these transgender mass murderer wannabes are going to go? So all kinds of things are coming together, and that's the big issue. Go ahead.
I'd like to just make a distinction. You know, Israel throughout time has been a very stiff-necked people. As a matter of fact, you know, when we read Jeremiah and Isaiah, we see where our father divorced Israel. He accused the northern tribes of being worse than a whore, because at least a whore gets paid for what she does. And so there's a propensity of Israel. I don't know if it's a result of arrogance or because they think they have the truth, so they're special or what it is. But Israel has a propensity to buy into a narrative of the world, and inside that Truman world, then they strut around inside this religious ideology that, you know, they're saved, and so, you know, life occurs. And inside this narrative, though, the truth is missing. And so the truth is always opposed to the adulterer, the adultery. The adultery is someone that takes the truth and spins it to benefit themselves. You know, we're told the first commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's exactly what's happening when someone takes the truth, spins it into a narrative, spins it into a propaganda, and promotes the propaganda as though it was true. And now here we are generations later living inside this total delusion, believing a lie, because that's what we were taught was normal, because it was acceptable inside the Overton window. Well, it's never been acceptable. We've always been believing in a lie. In my lifetime, in my father's lifetime, you know, we've been misled for so long that normal has been abnormal. And what we're experiencing right now is the fruit of that tree that was abnormal. This is like a timeline. We're going down this timeline. We chose materialism. We chose the love of money. We chose a path of materialism. I'll just be redundant there, as opposed to a true path of true truth.
which would include being real. But we've been so fake as a country and to each other. Our entire government is fake. Our religions are fake. The economic system is fake. The judicial system is we're looking at the fruition of fake. And yeah, it's an abomination because it's operating inside of a narrative, and that's the adulteress whore church, because she's instrumental in promoting this narrative and not tearing it down and really getting into the nitty-gritty of who we actually are as Israel and who we actually are as the church. So without that knowledge in the world, nature abhors a vacuum, and so of course transgenders and gays and this whole gender dysphoria and false monetaries, of course nature abhors a vacuum, so it's going to fill in. And so here we are again. We're reaping what has been sown, and the only way back is to acknowledge that we're part, if not fully responsible for this, change our minds and get back into the Word and figure out what it actually means and start walking the path of spirituality, which is the other timeline. Had we been walking that, we wouldn't be experiencing this. Most of us have no idea what the kingdom of heaven is, and that was the first teaching of Jesus. Yeshua said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Oh, but we didn't, you know, we just do that when it's convenient, you know, and as a result, this is the result, folks. This is the result, Mark.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the thing today, David, that I want to encourage folks to understand, again, we need to be armed. We're supposed to be aware. Yeshua had a lot to say about know the times and the seasons, the thief and the night, the fig tree, know when it's ripe. You can tell when it's going to rain tomorrow, but you can't tell what's getting ready to happen in the world because you're ignorant. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So one of the things that I try to encourage everyone here to be able to do is to talk to your neighbors, talk to your children, your loved ones, those that matter to you, and let them know what's going on, because the Overton window has got most of them duped. And it's whether it's taking the poison poke or letting your kids be put in the public cesspools and turned into little abominations, and then say, "Gee, I wonder what happened with Jimmy. He says now he wants to be called Anna, and he wants to cut off his genitalia, and he's already been taking these drugs, and I didn't even know about that. And golly, what's going on here?" Answer. Well, gee, Mom and Dad, you failed. You weren't paying attention. And partly it's because you were ignorant of the times and the seasons. You weren't paying attention. So we need to do that, especially now. Again, we're coming up on this season. It's interesting to me. I was thinking about this before. Tomorrow is the Sabbath. We have the Transgender Day of Vengeance scheduled to begin on April the 1st, and don't think for a second that there aren't going to be some incidents that at least are planned. Whether they actually come off or not will depend on whether or not the whore churches are also gun-free killing zones. So I would expect at least people need to be taken a warning. But it's interesting, isn't it, that they call this, especially in Latin America, very Catholic parts of Latin America, Mexico, and on down into Central America, they call it Holy Week. And yes, the week is holy. They get it started on the wrong day and it ends on the wrong day because they don't know Scripture. That's part of the problem. But it turns out that the real week that we're supposed to be celebrating is the week of Pesach, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it's close, but it's no cigar. And isn't that funny? So they get the Holy Week wrong. They get they ignore the fact that it's the Passover itself and the Passover lamb that matters, and instead focus on this fertility goddess. And it's the close but no cigar part that I think ought to interest people and encourage them to think about, pray about, study, and see what's really going on here. Because remember, begin at my sanctuary. Hey, these people were doing the whoring thing in his sanctuary in Ezekiel chapters 8 and 9. And the same thing is true today. It's just that he isn't welcome there, especially when he teaches something which is anathema to what those that come from the cemetery schools are telling them they ought to believe. Go ahead.
You know, it's one thing that I find to be extremely scary, and I found it to be scary for, decades now, is this belief in the rapture, that we're just going to get this free ticket to ride out of here, when the going gets tough. folks, you know, I don't know where you're at with that, but, you know, we need to get past that and realize that we, the body of Christ, you know, we have a responsibility here, and we're not getting taken out of this. Our job is to bring order to chaos. Our job, our marching order since Genesis has been to bring order to a chaotic world. That's what dominion is, okay? Dominion is not just the right to rule. Dominion are those who bring order to the kingdom, to bring order to the planet. And if the church is not, if the church is not doing it, it doesn't get done, because the church is the representative of truth. And truth, the first business of truth is order. And common sense, you know, it's really so easy that it's baffling. Because we've gotten seduced by religious doctrines, and, you know, what is the book of Revelation, you know, talks about the whore, you know, mystery Babylon, you know, I sit as a queen, and I'll
see no sorrow.
This instrumentality called mystery Babylon is the false narrative of institutional Christianity. And so exactly what you're saying, and if we can't make that distinction because we're so caught up in it, then we've got to get past our denial. Denial is what keeps so many of us trapped in the bosom of that false church. I can speak firsthand. I was born and raised Catholic, and I can tell you it's been work to confronting my fear and, you know, being afraid of going to hell because I didn't believe in certain things that the Catholic Church taught me. And then as I moved through Protestantism, every step I would take, I'd be afraid of going to hell because that was the threat. You're going to go to hell if you don't believe this. It's so.
Well, let me throw a final irony.
And if there's extortion going on here. It's like it's an if-then statement. So you're invited in, and, you know, you're told here's what to believe, and if you don't, you know, you're in trouble. You're going to go to hell, and so it becomes a control mechanism, and the control basically reinforces the narrative of the world. It's an acceptable of the world Overton window. What is acceptable and what is not acceptable? This is whatever conversation is acceptable. And anybody that steps outside that is deemed radical or a heretic or crazy. And yet, watch this. Look around you. Now, transgenderism is considered normal, and anyone that doesn't accept it is crazy. So here we have prima facie result of buying into dogmas that result in a convoluted narrative, which when we buy into that, we end up completely deceived and wondering, how the heck did we get here, Mark?
Okay. Well, you know, you said something several times, David, and I appreciate your glimpse at the upbringing there. You were convinced and told and taught that if you didn't believe all the crap, if you'll pardon my bluntness here again, that the whore church is telling you, you were going to go to hell. And the irony is, there was an element of truth in there, because what they intended to do, whether they knew it or not, or they were just duped by the adversary, is they are building a hell on earth. So many people that have been buying the lie about, oh yeah, if you don't believe all the crap we're peddling about Mother Mary, the Mother of God, and of course the incarnation of the fertility goddess and the Mother Goddess and Gaia and all the other pagan crap that we've mixed in here, well, you're going to go to hell. And the reason? Because we built that hell on earth, and we're putting you right in it. And we're taking your kids too. We're going to cut off their genitalia. They're going to go to hell. Everybody's going to go to hell because that's what we're up to. And ultimately, the sad truth is, this is kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Go ahead, and then let's talk about the other thing I know that's on your list. We don't want to run out of time. Obviously, there are other elements of the sociopathy and the provocation here as well.
You know, Yeshua said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. His number one teaching was kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. When you pray, pray our Father. Hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It was never about dying and going to heaven. It was always about bringing heaven to earth. And we, as the body of, of truth that walks and demonstrates and empowers that kingdom, that is the gospel. And so the churches have led us down a trail where we only think of the afterlife. We only think of, well, if I be good, or if I do all these rules, and or whatever church I happen to buy into at a time, and I get my ticket punched and I get to go live happily ever after off in heaven, never realizing that our mission has always been here on earth. Since Adam, our mission has been on earth, and Christ's ultimate call was go and make disciples and walk in the kingdom. That's what's missing. The result is we've allowed hell on earth, and now we're living into it. So to the degree that we've been negligent in establishing the King of Kings kingdom on our planet is the degree that we're now walking into the adversary's dominion. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, you're right. And let's talk about some of the other traps, I guess, that have been set. There was a big one, and you've been following this. We've talked about it here for the last few weeks. Is the criminal in New York going to basically go ahead and do something that's just so stupid that it's not even hidden anymore and indict a former president for what we now know is a bunch of BS? It turns out that even the so-called star witness, Michael, the attorney, the lying attorney, paid off the hooker, and Trump may or may not even have known about it. He didn't think he knew about it. That is, the lawyer didn't think he knew about it, and the grand jury knows it, but their response, the heck with that, we could care less. We got a civil war to kick off here. We're going to indict this anyway, and we don't care about the facts, and everybody knows they don't care about the facts, and that's what makes it so ironic. So, yesterday afternoon, in case folks missed it, the so-called grand jury in New York and Soros's guy, his whore, indicted President Trump with 34 counts related to all kinds of things. Now, the irony, right, of the weaponization of the justice system, this guy's a piker. Trump doesn't know squat about crime. Yeah, he grew up in New York, and he's familiar with underworld connections and how you got to get business done in that hellhole. But when it comes to going over to Ukraine and getting a little bit of 10% off the top for the big guy, when it comes to selling out to communist China to real crimes, isn't it funny that just as we're seeing what is called abomination being lifted up and said this is the soul of a nation, the same token applies to the justice system. It has been abominated itself and turned into something which, if you're halfway, and I mean even halfway, intelligent, capable, honest, trying to do the right thing, they will come after you with tongs. But on the other hand, if you're fully corrupt, well, you can get to be a president even if you're senile, and even if you're not elected. And we're not going to indict you or even talk about your crimes. The contrast here, David, is what ought to anger people, but not to the point where they go out and do something stupid, because Scripture says, come out of her. And that's what I'm encouraging folks to remember. We are to watch all of this, know the times and the seasons, and say, you know, there comes a point at which we just plain separate ourselves from this evil. Touch not the unclean thing. Go ahead.
Well, I think that what we're witnessing, again, and I can be redundant week after week, they're hiding their crimes, and their number one crime is human trafficking. See, we thought slavery ended back in the Civil War. No, no. They're doing human trafficking of women and children. They're selling children's body parts. They're growing children in Ukraine. Folks, come on. This is what is really going on. And Trump has appeared on the scene, and he has said, I will demolish this system. And he's talking about, and he calls it the deep state. So he came out last week in Waco and said, basically, you people are going down. Okay, so this is a retaliatory move. So we're in World War III. We are in an information war. And the volley back and forth is what we're watching. Who will win? Well, you know, how much prayer do we got going on our side? We cannot give them what they need. So we have to be aware of what they need. They need us to rebel. All right. This is why the whole January 6th scenario was promoted as an insurrection when it was an absolute lie. Truth is what we need. Truth is what will expose these people. We have to tell the truth. We have to live in the truth and let this thing unfold the way it's going to unfold. So we have to walk very cautiously right now. I think, as I said earlier in the show, they're provoking us, but they need us to do something stupid. Otherwise, they have to continue the false flags and blame it on us. So far, I think things are unfolding nicely. And this next week is going to definitely be a good one to watch. Thanks, Mark.
Okay, and that's probably the way we want to begin to wrap things up. Be paying attention this next week. Understand that ultimately they're going to get their civil war. They're going to get their world war. They've already got it started, but they haven't gotten it to go nuclear yet. We didn't even talk about that, but of course, as usual, there were more provocations, more poking of the bear, and the UK is going to send the depleted uranium that they've been warned against into the zone there so that they can try to provoke Russia into using tactical nukes or releasing a dirty bomb of their own after Ukraine gets contaminated with fallout. All over the world, the point is the following. We could care less about human lives. We have a goal. Our goal is to destroy this planet and everything that was created by God for good, turn it into something abominable, separate children from him, separate parents from him, separate the law from everything, and just create as much havoc, much chaos as we can. And Ordo Ab Caeo, right, the motto of the New World Order, that's what they intend to follow. We got about a minute, David. Anything else you want to add?
No, I think you've summed it up very nicely. And again, I just want to emphasize, they're desperate. And as you said earlier, when you corner a desperate animal, it's a very dangerous thing. So that's where we're at right now. They are cornered. And Trump has cornered them. And all of the millions of people that are standing with him have them terrified. So just understand that, you know, be prepared. This is, if you get the last minute shopping done, get the last minute things done, we're about to go through hell on earth. Go ahead, Mark, take us out.
Okay, well, let's see. We got about 30 seconds. Again, be watchful, be aware, and understand that what we're really seeing here, and this is why I started with this idea of the DSM, we're seeing psychopaths in control, and psychopaths means we really just love killing people. Sociopaths, we don't care about right and wrong. But what has been done is to turn an entire society into a bunch of psychopaths, run by psychopaths for psychopaths, and they're hoping that the whore church, which has already gone along with it, will continue to, and that they can drag as many people who don't know what's going on along with them as they can. And that is the really sad part about all of this. So as we head into a week where we have been told that it's about something different than what it really is, in other words, it's the Passover of Yah, and he has the Passover lamb, which has now been manifest, all of that is important. That's the kind of thing that we're supposed to remember, not to rename it after a pagan fertility goddess and celebrate it with things that he says, and you can find this if you'll just look. Don't even bring this crap into your house. I tell people, I don't care how much the bunnies and eggs are on sale for the day after Ishtar Sun God Day, don't bring them into your house and stay clear of anything associated with things that he says are worthy of a curse and will be not only places of judgment, but begin at my sanctuary. So there we are. And hey, thanks, folks. Have a blessed Shabbat and be watchful, especially this next week. Thanks, David. Shalom, folks.